Howdy, neighbors. Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today, talking about the supply side of the beef chain with Ethan Lane in just a moment. Well, folks, Superior Video Livestock Auctions got their next sale coming Thursday, April 2nd, starting 8 a.m. on Dish Network Channel 997, SLA TV, and SuperiorClickToBid.com. 33,800 head to be on offer, including over 12,000 yearling steers, 7,000 yearling heifers, and over 13,000 weaned calves. If you'd like details about when a lot will sell, go to SuperiorLivestock.com or give them a call, 800-422-2117. Superior Livestock. Hey cattlemen, more producers use Cydectin, Moxidectin, than any other pour-on cattle dewormer. It's the number one selling branded cattle dewormer on the market, providing broad spectrum control of 33 parasite species and stages. So treat your cattle with Cydectin this season, because you have nothing to lose except parasites. Visit your local retailer or go online to BayerLivestock.com for more information. Remember to keep Cydectin out of reach of children. Ethan Lane and members of the NCBA team in Washington pledged to work with Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue and USDA to craft an assistance package for the beef industry quickly. However, Ethan Lane is also paying attention to the supply side of things when it comes to the beef pipeline, concerned that the beef packers will be able to keep their workers healthy and keep the supply chain rolling.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, the thing that we're hearing that we're pleased to hear is that their focus is on keeping those plants up and operating. I mean, that's central to make sure that that supply keeps moving through the system. You know, I think they're all working their various pandemic response plans and laying that guidance for how they're going to respond if they start to get positives for coronavirus amongst their workforce. You know, I think the good news is, and I don't want to speak for them, obviously they have their own communicators, but I think, you know, a few weeks ago the perspective was more sort of like a lot of different sectors of the economy: if we get a positive, we're going to shut everything down. I think they've moved away from that. I think they have started to put some plans in place for how they move forward and isolate if they do get a positive without having to shut things down. That's good news. The fact that they're thinking dynamically about that and looking for ways to make sure they can continue to operate, that is good news. I think the federal agencies, those inspectors at FSIS and APHIS and AMS and elsewhere, are doing the same thing, because, I mean, at a certain point, if we look at the infection rates we've seen in other countries, that is something that we could see. You know, there's two different conversations, right? There's, gosh, we have one positive, what do we do there, versus we simply have so many positives and people who are out quarantined that we now have a workforce shortage issue. I mean, that's, quite frankly, that's part of the problem in the House of Representatives, is they have enough members of Congress that are quarantined at this point that it's difficult to vote. I mean, that's something that's going to become increasingly an issue as we move forward. But asking for flexibility in overtime, asking for flexibility in scheduling, so that as their workforce diminishes, if that in fact is the case, they're able to get those workers to where they're needed, and they have the resources to compensate them, I think is going to be really important. I mean, flexibility is going to continue to be the word of the day here across all of these different segments. We're going to have to be able to play this stuff off the wall. We're going to have to be able to respond dynamically as conditions change in order to make sure that the supply chain keeps moving.
I guess this whole atmosphere, whether you're talking about within our economy or inside the Washington, D.C. beltway, it's unprecedented.
Well, it is. I mean, there's just nothing to compare this to. You know, you look back to 2008. Those of us that are old enough look back to 9/11. You know, I mean, as far as things to compare this to, there are just very few. I don't think any of us ever thought we'd be having a conversation about what it looks like to just grind the U.S. economy to a halt for a month or two and see what happens. But that's where we are. And, you know, I think I've been fascinated to watch the reactions to President Trump saying that he'd like to see things start to perk back up by Easter, you know, and I've seen a lot of, you know, folks, especially those that kind of start out disliking the president, reacting very negatively to that. But boy, I can certainly see where his head is, right? I mean, we can only keep this economy asleep so long, and so having some kind of a date to look forward to when we can start to power back up is I think critical. We can't just go to sleep for months and hope for the best. And in our industry in particular, we can't go to sleep at all. I mean, even if people are locked in their homes, they still need to eat. And that means that we need to keep our business moving through that. And if that means, you know, we know that the packers have had to shift, you know, what they would typically be shipping to the food service side. Obviously, that demand has shifted from food service to retail, and that's a pivot for them that they're, I know, managing on their side. But at the end of the day, the hope is that that overall volume of beef is still getting into consumers' refrigerators and onto their plates, and that we're still the protein they choose. So far, so good. I mean, that's certainly from the anecdotal evidence and the evidence we're seeing as far as purchases, that's happening, and that's great news. We hope that holds up. I think it's always a concern that folks stocked up their freezers last week, so they don't need to buy any more this week. As we get into the spring, I've even heard some people talking about the fact that, you know, if you have to stay home for the next month, it's sure nice weather to grill. So maybe that helps us a little bit as well, that if you're going to be home and looking for things to do, one thing you can do is fire up the grill and cook some burgers or cook some steaks, to pass the time. But boy, it's just, there's nothing to compare this to. There's no benchmark.
Lots of moving pieces to get beef successful, from the ranch to the feedlot, through the packing plant, and through all the channels to that retail meat case. Ethan Lane, Vice President for Governmental Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Join Gardner Angus Ranch for their 41st annual production sale April 3rd and 4th at the ranch near Ashland, Kansas. Selling 1,400 head of registered bulls and females and commercial females, including the entire Gardner Angus Ranch registered cow herd. As always, all purchases are backed by the Gardner Guarantee. Free delivery. Join them in Ashland, Kansas on April 3rd and 4th, or join them online. Visit GardnerAngus.com for videos of the sale offering, the sale book, and more.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm Farm Director Ron Hayes reporting.